We have truly been blessed to have a beautiful day. The weather has turned off very nicely. It is warming up some to the pleasure of some of you folks. But it's a gorgeous day. It's a wonderful day because we have the opportunity to gather together and to sing songs of praise unto God, to be led in prayer by one of the men, to be have the opportunity to hear the Word of God proclaimed. We couldn't help but notice as we traveled to the building this morning that several were taking full advantage of the beauty of the day and the coolness of the morning, and they were already out manicuring their lawns. Today, we see the beauty of the weather, and people's mind turns toward the things of life that are done outside. Maybe even sometimes the things that bring pleasure, while not altogether wrong, perhaps maybe the time they do them or where they do them could be an issue. But there's work to do. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Watchmen, what of the night? Each Christian should understand their responsibility to God in reference to teaching and preaching the whole truth during the course of evangelism. Evangelism is a very important thing. It's the very foundation upon the very basis upon which the church grows. A person hears the word, they obey the word, they grow as they read and they study, and they willingly, lovingly, and unselfishly take the time and put forth the effort to take that to other people. That's what evangelism is. And our aim this morning is to help everyone understand that we must preach the whole counsel of God to be watchmen. Our text this morning is Isaiah chapter 21, verses 11 and 12. And we're going to take phrases from this particular verse, and we're going to use them as the outline this morning. The burden of Duma, he calleth to me out of Seir, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If ye will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. In that immediate context, the Edomites were looking for deliverance from the night of the Babylonian threat. The duplication of the expression here represents the intensity at which they felt the pressing of the night. And so they cry out to the prophet, watchman, what of the night? Then we see the reply, the morning cometh, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. It's amazing, as long as we've lived here, or as long as we will be here, or as long as the world turns, both morning and night are coming. And contextually, the morning was coming for Israel and the night for Edom. We'll see why as we look into this. Spiritually, the morning came for those who inquire and repent, but the night awaits in destruction for those who do not. In our text, we have the watchman. The watchman is God's messenger. In the specific text that we read this morning, Isaiah 21, 11 and 12, Isaiah is God's watchman. We also want to note Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 16 through 21, which is different from our scripture reading this morning. But we see that God has placed a great deal of importance upon the watchman. And in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 16 through 21, Ezekiel is the watchman, different men at different times, given the message from God to take to the people of God as he directed. Ezekiel chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, and it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. Notice, if you will, where he received his message, his warning. Receive the word at my mouth, and give them a warning from me. When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. In other words, you have not done what God asked you to do. in warning people about the destruction that was going to come upon them. And even though they remained in their iniquity, they continued to sin, they lived their life in accordance to their own will, and they died, then you are responsible because you did not tell them. Yet, if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, the flip side of that coin. The message is there. The message from God has been given for us to deliver to others. And our responsibility as children of God and lovers of the souls of men is to take God's message to them. And if they refuse it, if they reject it, then we can't force them to do anything, but we've done what God has required of us. As we continue reading again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Did everybody catch what was going on there? One can become righteous and then become unrighteous. And if that's the case, then the watchman has a responsibility there as well. To warn. To say, hey, brother, what's going on? What can I do to help you? Let me help you come back into the fold. Help them to understand what they need to do. If not, and they die in their iniquity, their blood will be on our head. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. The messenger must give the message, whether good or bad. We hear all the time about people preaching about love. And there's nothing wrong with love. Love is, God is love. And we should preach on love. But we should also preach upon what's going to happen if we don't follow God. Recently, sometime last year, we went to a gospel meeting and a man preached on hell, and he commented, he did a great job on it, by the way, but he commented that you don't hear many sermons on hell. Why? It's part of being a watchman of God. In order to do this, in order to be a proper watchman from God, we must not be a respecter of persons. I've actually heard of a preacher being told not to preach on a certain subject because it's going to hurt some people's feelings. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the truth is withheld from them, we're not being a proper watchman. We say, well, we're going to hurt their feelings. Would you rather hurt their feelings or hurt their soul? In Romans chapter 2 and verse 11, we see a passage that tells us something about God. And if God does not respect persons, can we be a respecter of persons and still be pleasing to God? The passage says very simply, for there is no respect of persons with God. God does not respect a person. He does not withhold his truth from one group because it's going to hurt their feelings and then extend it to another group. His truth is the truth, and it must be proclaimed. It must be put forth to people to give them the opportunity to make an informed decision. It's important. We must not look at a person. We can't see them inside. We cannot look at a person and tell whether or not they're going to receive the truth. We see someone out there and we say, you know, that person possibly does not know the truth. But look at him. I don't think he's going to receive it very well. We don't have that capability, do we? But we have the capability to take that word to them, and we have the opportunity to do it if we will just look for it and take advantage of it. Not being a respecter of persons, it is possible that that person might very well be looking for something. And if they don't receive the truth, they're going to follow something else. Linda was reading something this morning about a group of students somewhere that had been looking for something, and someone offered them something from a religious standpoint, and they embraced it wholeheartedly. Why? Because they were looking for something. Imagine the difference between looking for something and receiving the truth, and looking for something and receiving a man-made doctrine, and the end result. the watchman also must not seek to please men, but seek to save them. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10 is perhaps one of the best passages that we might bring up relative to this point. Can we adequately serve Christ and please men, all men at the same time? I've heard it said you can please some of the people some of the time. Or you can, how does that go? But you can't please all the people all the time. I'm not quite sure if that's the right saying or not, but it's something like that. The fact of the matter is true. You cannot please everybody. And other people have said that you can't please everybody, please yourself. That's not right either. Please God. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. We must choose to whom we are going to please and whom we are going to serve. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Now notice the last part of it. For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Who are you serving? You're serving the men that you're seeking to please. You're taking the message of God and you're leaving part of it out, or you're adding to it so you can please men, receive accolades from them, to be honored in their eyes. At the same time, you can't please God by doing that. In order for this to occur, the watchman must not ever compromise his message. To preach a compromised message is to preach a lie. And lies do not save souls. Only the truth can save a soul. The messenger's attitude must be that of Micaiah. I never can say that well. In 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 14. And not let anything deter him from doing exactly that and nothing less. It is important. We have a warning from God. We are messengers from God. And we have a commandment of God to take that to other people. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. What was he saying? I'm not going to speak less. I'm not going to speak more. I'm not going to deter from to go to the right or to the left. What the Lord has given me, that's what I'm going to deliver. That's what I'm going to speak. And somebody's going to say, well, that's the Old Testament. No, let's go to Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. This clearly shows that it's the same message in the New Testament. God requires of us as watchmen to take the whole counsel of God and deliver it to the benefit of people, not some other doctrine, not some other gospel. God's message has been penned for us, and all Christians better be watchmen and deliver the pure message without alteration. We can't change it. We can't alter it. We can't make it more appealing. You know when the word becomes appealing? When people love it, when they desire it, when they hunger and thirst after righteousness. Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. But though we, the apostles, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Did you know what's coming in verse 9? He repeats it. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. If a messenger comes and they have a different message than from what's printed on the pages of inspiration, that man is accursed, and everybody that follows him will be accursed. In Acts chapter 20, verses 26 and 27, the apostle Paul did a bit of traveling about and also had to travel sometimes at this time because he had to appeal to Caesar. And he was on his way to Rome. And through kindness, they allowed him to go and to be met with by the Ephesian elders. He called for them to come to Melita, and visit with him. And notice what he told them there. He told them why their blood was not on his hands. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. You know, it's amazing. If you continue to read that account, you're going to find out what Paul did. What did he tell them? He said, I'm going to tell you something that's going to hurt your feelings. of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Why? To draw disciples after you. What are they supposed to be doing? They're supposed to be overseeing the congregation there in Ephesus, making sure that the unadulterated word of God is preached and proclaimed and lived among the people. Today, we are the watchmen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 and 5 shows that we are not to be of the night, but of the day, shining the light of the gospel in our lives by our speech, through our efforts to spread the message, by our actions. Notice he's writing to the church. He says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." He's telling them, you have gotten ready, now stay ready. Continue to proclaim the message so others can get ready, so that they too can stay ready. What people need today is their eyes opened. Go to Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. We're going to see there what the Lord told Paul his assignment was. The purpose of the message that he had, the purpose of the message that all Christians are to deliver as watchmen of God, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Will we do the work of the watchman or stand idle as souls around us die in sin? That's a question we should ask ourselves. Are we doing what God would have us do? Are we evangelizing? I think if we're honest, at the very least, we could say not enough. But notice, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. You know what? People that don't receive the message can't obey the gospel. Nobody's accidentally saved. It's a purposeful thing. Why? Because their eyes have been opened to the fact, A, that they are a sinner. B, that there is a sacrifice been made for them. And C, how to access the blood of Christ in baptism. And D, from that point forward, to serve God faithfully and do His will. And they, too, become watchmen. In our text, we also have the night. You know, the night is dark and it's uncertain. There's a lot that goes on at night. It's unwholesome. One can't see effectively when it's dark. My wife accuses me of having bat eyes or something, or animal that can see in the dark. She says, "You don't like to turn on lights. You do everything in the dark." Well, no, I just have decent vision, I guess. But when it's truly dark, totally dark, how can we know the way? Have you ever been in a room, didn't have a window, and there was no light whatsoever? You know, you may be familiar with that room, but you're still a little careful about how you move about, aren't you? Why? You're going to bump into something. You're going to have a bruise on your shin. You're going to bump your head or something. We can't see when it's dark. And so how can we know the way? In John chapter 12, verses 35b, we see the words of Christ, which shows that we are enveloped in uncertainty when we are in the dark. Jesus there was talking. He said, "For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. If indeed we continue to walk in the darkness," walketh, E-T-H, you see that? "For he that walketh," continue to walk in darkness, "knoweth not whither he goeth." You don't know where you're going to end up. Imagine, if you will, trying to follow a specific path in total darkness. We don't realize it, but we will deviate from that path. We will wander off of that path. We don't know where we're going. Additionally, in John chapter 11 and verse 10, Jesus says, "One can't find his way when they are enveloped in the uncertainty of darkness." He said there, "But if a man walketh in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." The light that he's speaking of is the light that we are to put in us through the Word of God, that we might see, that our eyes might be opened. What does the word of the watchman do? Well, according to Psalms 119, 105, perhaps one of the most well-remembered passages about the light that comes from the Word of God and what it does for those who apply it, we find, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Years ago, we used to hear an expression. I had to ask what it meant because I didn't know. My grandfather and my uncles used to say, "You better light a shuck." And I said, "What in the world are y'all talking about?" Well, one of my uncles went and got a corn shuck at night, and he lit it, and you have to hurry because it burns pretty fast. And the distance from the house to the outhouse, you didn't want to step on something that was out there in the yard, maybe something that was slithering around at night. You wanted light. You wanted to see. I asked the obvious question, wouldn't you want to have one coming back too? The point is that we need light to see. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And John chapter 8 and verse 12, we find the words of Jesus. He's telling those that had accused a woman of adultery and used the situation to tempt them that he is that light. Then Jesus speaking to them saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." What does he mean? He means, A, they're not going to be stumbling around because there's light in them. B, he's going to know where he's going. He's going to know the path to follow. The night's dangerous. It's dangerous because that the enemy holds the night. The enemy has the power over it. And when I'm talking about night, I'm not talking about the sun going down and it being dark in the yard. I'm talking about spiritual darkness. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 indicates that the lost are under the power of darkness and they need to be delivered from it. You know, there's only one way to come to the light. There's only one way to contact the blood of Christ. "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And we can see it time after time after time in the scriptures. Those who gladly received the word and were baptized were added to the church in Acts chapter 2. The redemption that is in Christ is because of his blood, the light that shines because of Christ and his message that we are to shed or to spread to others. You know, the blindness of darkness brings hazards. We've talked about tripping, falling, stubbing toes, and that sort of thing. In Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 10, it's speaking of the messengers of the Lord which failed to be proper watchmen because they slept on the job. They didn't deliver God's message as it was given to them. Notice the condemnation that exists here. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Why? They rejected their duty as watchmen. In the darkness, we are blind. Remember Luke chapter 6 and verse 39. Remember what Jesus said about those who continue to stumble about without sight in the darkness? He said, "Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch?" Now, what is the point? The point is the world is in the night. The world is in the night of sin, and until they come to the light, they have no hope. Now, we have a picture of this as well in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. We see the sad condition of the Ephesian Christians before they saw the light, before they embraced the light, before they obeyed the gospel. But do you know how that they saw the light, how they had the opportunity to embrace the light, and how they had the opportunity to obey the gospel? Because someone took it to them. "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time," In other words, before they obeyed the gospel, before they saw the light and embraced it. At that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. We'll talk about hope this evening. And without God in the world. In this world of darkness, there are potentially millions crying, what of the night? What are we going to tell them? Or are we going to tell them? In our text, we also not only have the watchman, not only have the night, but we also have the message. The morning comes. That's part of that message that we read in our text. The light shines to those who will hear the word. There was going to be restoration for Israel if they would see the light of the message. There is salvation for those who are lost in a world of darkness if they hear the message. They gladly receive the word. They are baptized into Christ. And then they can be encouraged and taught more and more and remain faithful. The light is shining for those that have obeyed the gospel. The morning is coming for those who will be obedient. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, we find the Spirit directing Peter to write and describe the word as a lamp, shining the light to all. We also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Oh, how wonderful it is to be in the light, to have that light, to know that message. But we need to be aware that also eternal night is coming for the disobedient. Now, when I say this, immediately everybody's mind goes to those that are out there in the world, those who are not in Christ, those who are living lives of sin, serving self. But we need to understand and realize when the Bible talks about the disobedient, they're talking about the disobedient outside of Christ as well as the disobedient in Christ. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, the fact of the matter is they eliminate or they negate their salvation when they refuse to continue in Christ, faithfully serving Him. They become disobedient. There was going to be a continued night for Edom because of their ongoing and continual disobedience. The night remains for the wicked. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. It's descriptive of those who walk after the flesh, including those who have forsaken the right way. And notice, if you will, when we read this passage, they are called cursed children. He's not talking about the people of the world, those who have never obeyed the gospel. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried about with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. That's why all should inquire of the word and turn. In our text, we see that Edom was exhorted to inquire concerning the Lord's message and repent. The same is true today. Folks need to know that they need to inquire of the word of God and to repent. But the only way that they're going to know it is if somebody tells them, if somebody warns them. And who is going to warn them but God's watchman? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 shows that all are exhorted to heed the Lord's words and repent. God has made a promise of eternal life to those who repent and obey and remain faithful. He's also promised destruction for those who do not. That means those who do not remain faithful as well. But we know what God's will is. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now I want you to look at the verse following. If I can get over there quickly, we're going to see the reason that God has put forth this information for us. that he is not slack concerning his promise, that he has promised this for us, and he wants all to come to repentance. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. What's he saying? He's saying it's going to happen where at some point there will be no more time to hear the message, to respond to the message, to come out of the night into the light. It's only possible for folks to come to repentance if they hear the message. And they can only hear the message if it's taken to them. And it can only be taken to them if the messenger and the watchman do their duties. What will our attitude be toward the message of the true watchman, heralding the word of God and his plan for salvation? Are we going to heed the message? Some of us might say, well, you know, I already have. No, that means we must continually heed God's word. And part of heeding God's word and doing what God would have us do is taking that message to others, those that are in darkness still. If not, they'll remain in darkness. If we don't, we truly are in darkness. Are the obedient going to join with the messenger and shine the light of God in their lives through their words and call others to the light? Stop and think about it. The souls of many are in jeopardy. Watchmen, what of the night? Let us remember the watchman, the night, and the message. Listen to God's watchman. Come away from the night, the darkness of sin. Heed the message, including God's invitation. And that is part of the message that every watchman, every child of God should take to others. That God has a plan. That plan is for salvation. It is available to all who will be obedient and all who repent and turn away from that life of sin so that they can become a new creature in Christ. But they must obey that plan in order to do so. The plan is extremely simple, and it has been delivered for us in the scriptures. And if we break it down, we can set it out and point to it and show people. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 33, we see what Cornelius said to Peter and those that were traveling with him. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. What were they there to do? To hear. We must hear the word of God. Again, you got to have a watchman who is a messenger that takes that message so that they can hear it. Then they have to believe it. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, we know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When the message is presented and we see the joy that one should have in becoming a child of God, we should believe that Jesus Christ, we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but we must also repent. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 20, we see what Saul did very, very shortly after his conversion. Showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. One must also confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Perhaps the best example of that is in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. The eunuch had heard, Philip had preached unto him Jesus and said, see, here's water. But Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest what? Be baptized. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Immediately following that, they went out of the chariot, down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Which brings us to the next point. There's no reason to delay. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, we see what Saul was told. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The message has been heard. The watchman has done his job. Someone has come into the light. But then we must remain in the light. And to do that, we must remain faithful unto death. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 is a very sad passage. It shows the condition of one who's been in the light and goes back to the darkness, no longer heeding the watchman, no longer being a watchman themselves. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. They gained that knowledge. They embraced the truth. They came into the light, and then they exited the light. But God has a plan so that the erring Christian could return. Part of that plan is dependent upon a watchman. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves of God, peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 25. And then we see once that the watchman has done his job and gone to that brother who has gone back into the world, forsaken the Lord. Verse 26 says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. How? Acts chapter 8 and verse 22 explains it so simply. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, and perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Watchmen, what of the night? One of these days it will be too late. Any warnings that we might give someone can no longer be given. And whatever state that soul is in, it will remain that way for eternity. Perhaps you're here tonight or today and haven't heard these things, haven't heard the gospel explained or the plan of salvation, haven't participated in it. You can hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized into Christ and remain faithful unto death. Perhaps you're here as a child of God. You have sin that's unrepented in your life. Know that you cannot faithfully serve God with unrepented sin in your life. It must be repented of. Heed the watchman. Heed the message. Don't go into the night. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing the selected hymn.